B-Pod Studios.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. By the way, that's exactly what the Jets want to do, is bring the 31-year-old malcontent receiver where they have no draft capital. Might as well give away another number one pick for him.
It was, I believe it's Jason LaCanforo has that report, Ian Rappaport as well. Apparently, the Jets are doing their due diligence. That's the word right now. Oakland is still the overwhelming favorite to land Antonio Brown. But the other part of the story is, if they had the druthers, and they've apparently contacted the Giants about Odell Beckham, who may or may not be available, they desperately want Beckham over Brown. And it makes sense. He's much younger.
Yeah.
So that's what they want. But as of right now, because Oakland has three first-round draft picks, they're willing to spend one on Antonio Brown.
If you had to take one on the Jets, who would you rather have, Brown or Beckham?
I guess Beckham, he's been in the New York market, and he's younger and he's bigger.
Oh, yeah. You want Beckham.
And as much as he can be a pain in the ass, he hasn't completely ditched a team for no reason.
He hasn't shot his way out of town like Brown does. He's nuts, Beckham is, but I'd much rather have him than Brown.
But I think if you're a great receiver, chances are nowadays that you're a little nuts. All right, Mike Lockhart, we like to explore the world of these communities. They get together. They have these town hall meetings. These are the people that, like, hang out at the library and read the Newton tab.
Library blocked my password.
Being on a city council has just got to be a venture into hell.
Mayor, would you like to?
Which is another reason I found it odd that people said I didn't use the snowblower at 4 a.m. to get out of my place. Because, by the way, this is the same town that you can't use a leaf blower in. So I just thought it was interesting that should have been acceptable. But nonetheless, Mike, where is this?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues going on. We've seen so many things happen over the years. And this one is in North Carolina. And this guy has a problem that it's a pretty unique problem. Most people don't run into this.
All right, play the fart one more time.
Okay.
Mayor, would you like to?
How do you do that? Like, how can you not control your rectum enough not to have that happen?
That's no shame right
there. It's one where maybe you're leaning a little bit. You're like, well, I'll keep this quiet.
No, he's obviously forcing out the gas. I mean, that doesn't just happen. You don't just sit there and go like, I mean, there could be a little noise, but I mean, that's a guy who's just like, I'm going to blow a huge fart right now.
That's one butt cheek up, just letting it go.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I was at the trainer yesterday. That's right. I go to the trainer. Yep. Obviously, I'm doing it in reverse. But I went to the trainer and I had leftover Indian food for lunch. And I thought at one point, because I was doing these exercises, like where you take the ball, like the big bouncy ball there.
Oh.
And you take your legs and then you come up and you grab it with your hands. And
yep.
Right?
A little core.
Maybe you got to work the core or you're just joshing around.
Yep.
And I thought I was going to have to fart. And then so I headed over to the bathroom to take a leak, and then the fart disappeared. So if I'm willing to do that, if you're at a city council meeting mic'd up, I think that there is no excuse. But all right, so
would you like to?
And then they all laugh because that's what people do.
Yeah,
that had to be the highlight of their whole careers, being on the city council.
Most memorable thing that ever happened.
You know what I like to do is ignore what's going on in town. All right, so anyway, so this is where?
North Carolina.
All right, this is North Carolina. Obviously, the hurricanes were in town yesterday.
Hurricane country.
This is nothing but timely, and here we go.
Next speaker is David Thompson. Talk about Homeland Security.
Because that's where you want to go, is City Hall in the North Carolina town to talk about Homeland Security.
Yeah, well, you start at the grassroots level, work your way up.
Yeah.
Well, trust me, this guy's contacted the big wigs.
Okay, so
there's a lot to come here.
Right, this is him informing.
He's fired up.
I would imagine.
Yes, welcome, David.
I stood over here last time.
I'm here tonight to request John Walsh of the FBI's Most Wanted to make public and request a number one, America's number one public enemy. We have a rogue helicopter pilot on the loose inside this airspace.
All right, so is he talking to John Walsh?
Yes.
The television personality.
Yep. Yeah, he's looking to contact him because there's a rogue helicopter.
Well, I don't know why he just doesn't use his brain while he's watching the TV to communicate with him.
He may.
I don't know why he just doesn't put a can on a string and somehow communicate in that fashion. Put aluminum foil on his head.
He's also on the loose inside this country, and I am after this report right here, which is a classified document from the Freedom of Information Act within the FAA. When I came down here to speak back in April about the bundling, I went home. I said something because I could back it up, because I went to the Smith Junior High meeting years ago, and I reminded you of four things I said, which was no smoking, 30,000 seats, solar hot water panels on it, and put ice in the arena.
Okay, so what's he saying, Mike?
I'm not really sure. This isn't really about the helicopter.
So he went to a junior high meeting?
Yeah, and he yelled a little bit.
A few years ago, yeah. Okay,
a few years
he didn't want ice in the arena.
Yeah.
Now, what's the issue with the ice in the arena?
I'm not really sure. He's talking about helicopters. This is kind of a side note.
Was it ultra classy, like a steakhouse where they put a little ice in the urinals? Did he find that wasteful? All right, let me see.
Mayor, would you like to?
Just, people can't control themselves.
Well,
real shame.
Probably a little about leftover Indian food. Probably.
I don't think I could. I think I could stop myself from doing that.
Well, you know,
you're in a seated position in front of a microphone. I don't think it's too difficult to not fart.
Those are long meetings. Those are long meetings.
Well, you know, maybe you recuse yourself.
Next scheduled bathroom break wasn't for a little bit, I'm sure.
I'm sure that they have to follow by the letter. All right, we continue.
Back in April about the bundling, I went home. I said something because I could back it up, because I went to the Smith Junior High meeting years ago, and I reminded you of four things I said, which was no smoking, 30,000 seats, solar hot water panels on it, and put ice in the arena. And I told you why there's no ice in the arena. I made a statement, and the statement was the reason there's no ice in the arena is because somebody had their hand in the pie.
That's right. If you got your hand, that's big ice right there.
Yep.
If you have your hand in the pie, I mean, no one's going to get their ice.
Yeah, you're compromised.
I mean, you really are.
You can't fight big ice.
No.
No, you can't.
No.
I mean, just the idea of freezing water altogether is a huge scam.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs it, as far as I'm concerned?
He didn't want ice in that arena because he knew down the road, just like with the NBA, eventually the NFL and the NHL were going to expand. And if he allowed ice to be put in that arena, that means sometimes down the road he'd have a competing tenant, which would lessen his bargaining power at the city of Charlotte. I've been ready to explode like Mount St. Helens since the weekend of May 27th and 28th. And what happened to me was the evening of the 28th, I woke up in my house.
And that right in itself was a danger sign for him. I woke up in a house and not a ditch. It was a very, very bad time for me.
Late in the evening, early morning is a.m., and my house is shaking, and it's shaking, and it gets shaking, and it's shaking, and it shakes for over a minute to 2 minutes. It shook constantly, and it was the same white helicopter that I saw on Sunday afternoon that flew over my house when I walked from my part of the house to my garage.
Sir,
the exact same.
Sir, no,
I won't raise my voice.
Boy Scouts in the audience, and they might be getting scared because
that's
of your behavior.
That's fine. They have a right to be.
What the hell do the Boy Scouts have to sit there for? What kind of insane punishment is that?
Let's cool it. The Boy Scouts can take it. All right, they're used to out there.
They're used to getting picked on.
Yeah, that is true.
Nothing cooler than being a Boy Scout. You're wearing that uniform to school. Yep. Look out, ladies! I got a kerchief on.
Yeah, I could survive a night in the woods.
What knot do you want? I mean, what are we talking? Klondike Derby? I got it all. Sir, they're getting a merit badge in exceedingly boring things.
What knot do you want? I know them all.
Can you imagine that? There's a bunch of Boy Scouts. Sir, there's a bunch of people that are going to have a very tough time for their entire adolescence. Can we please keep it down? It's funny because every time you question someone being in the Boy Scouts, someone calls in and they're like, I was a scout. My father was an Eagle Scout.
Yeah, and
he's an awful person. Here we go.
He's scared because that's why I'm here tonight. I was scared. I was endangered and I was threatened. My life was in danger because we have a helicopter pilot that flew 25 to 30 feet off my roof line between the magnolia tree and the property line for 1 to 2 minutes and then he bailed out. And I followed him and I've tracked him down.
In what? Your jetpack? How exactly did you follow the man? And I followed him on foot.
Maybe he got in the truck.
Well, that's a lot of time, Jones. I mean, you got to think about a timeline there. In order to get to the truck, get it off the cinder blocks, put the wheels onto it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of time that you're wasting there.
A few steps, yeah.
And I've tracked him down through the FAA because I made an official report. Sue Myrick knows about this. The FBI knows about this. John Edwards knows about this. This Criminal Intelligence Division, the Charlotte Police Department knows about this. I want this pilot. It's a matter of national security. Wherever you are, Mr. Helicopter Pilot, come out of your hole.
And I wonder if Mr. Helicopter Pilot is sitting there. He's like, I don't even fly a helicopter.
You think it's big ice chasing this guy?
Well, I don't know. There's ice everywhere, and you can't have ice in the arena. It's a conflict of interest.
Could be big ice.
Yeah, helicopters.
Could
that's
be
expensive.
Big ice.
Can you imagine if your name is Mr. Helicopter, and you're like,
whoa.
I'm sick of this nonsense. I don't fly a helicopter. Like B.A. Brackets, you got to knock me out. I don't even like flying. You know what? I'm sick of being named Mr. Helicopter. I have a right mind to go down to City Hall and change my name. Getting blamed for all this ruckus.
And you too, George Shin, because you were in that helicopter, Pop.
Yeah, George Shin is notorious for being in a helicopter.
I've been waiting to bring him up. I was hoping he'd get to him.
I mean, this is when you know that it's on. George Shin was in the helicopter.
Yep,
I mean, but that goes without saying.
No question. No, I think we were all thinking it. I'm happy he had the guts to say it.
Yeah. I mean, now, you know, better wear a phone book under your shirt because. When
stop
George Chin gets a hold of that, yeah. But more of an archery guy. Yeah. He just uses ice sabers.
You're in that helicopter, and you're nothing but a chameleon, lemon-headed, coward, terrorist pussy. And I'm after you, buddy. You're going to pay for it. Sure. Good night.
Thank you very much, sir.
I don't think that you have to thank him. He just exposed a lot of stuff.
I don't think the boys.
We have a rogue helicopter pilot on the loose inside this airspace.
I think it's time for you guys to get to work. That's what I think.
Well, I think the Pinewood Derby is going to be a real situation this year.
Real salty language at the Pinewood Derby.
These kids have learned a lot.
Yep.
That Pinewood Derby. Secret is you put the lead in the front.
Pinewood. Do they do the Soapbox Derby, too, or are they just Pinewood?
I think the Soapbox Derby was more of a Leaver to Beaver situation.
Yeah, there are no Soapbox Derbies taking place across this great land. I don't think anymore.
No,
Pinewood Derby is the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, you get I was a Cub Scout, and you get one of them things of wood.
Yeah.
And then someone's dad makes one that works for Ford.
Yep.
And they ultimately win, and the dad goes home with a great point of pride. That he put together something that beat a bunch of 11-year-olds. All right, so Mike Gorman is going to join us. Perhaps he has a theory of George Chin and the helicopter situation and the ice going on in the Carolinas. We'll be right back.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Up high, Aho does the same right of the net. Fired and deflected on net. Halak the save.
Rozier through the center court logo, floats it into the corner, open, Kyrie, three, got it!
Oh-wee, he's not making a great play there.
A 9-0 Boston run, Curry runs over a man, offensive foul, there will be no suspense tonight.
What the hell are you doing, you calling this?
You heard what I said.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Mike Gorman is the voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Gorman, hello.
What's up, Brad? How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. I never realized pilot was two words. Pilot, that guy.
Yeah, well, I think he had other issues going on besides that. But, okay, I'm a little disappointed that the team won in the way that they won last night, because finally, for once, once in my lifetime, you were crapping all over the Celtics.
Could not have been more angry.
Yes. Has your opinion changed after last night's game?
Well, no, not really. My biggest disappointment with the Celtics on Sunday was what I thought was the lack of effort. You can talk all you want about execution. I just didn't think they came out and competed. Last night, they obviously had 5-6 hours on an airplane to look at tape of the game against Houston, and they came out and competed right from the very beginning. So that's encouraging. But, to suddenly say that the sky is all blue now with no clouds in it would be irrational.
Okay, I'm no expert here and no psychiatrist, but I don't understand. Like, Kyrie Irving seems to be like testing out new personalities. He seems to change his narrative. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I'm not here for the fame, and he's wearing an Uncle Drew hat, and it's the irony is, of course, there.
I don't want people looking at me, and he comes walking in that kind of a camouflage suit.
Right, exactly. Like, and I can only imagine the pressure of walking in the arena and having cameras on you. But in your opinion, like, what does he have to complain about? It seems like he got everything he wanted. What in your opinion, is his issue?
I have the slightest idea, and I don't have the slightest idea, rather. And frankly, I could care less about the whole Kyrie soap opera. I want the guy to go out in the court and play like we've seen him can be capable of playing, and then we'll worry about July 1st when that rolls around. But all this excess stuff about who he is, and he's his own worst enemy. He should just keep his mouth shut and play. But he chooses not to, but I choose not to listen to it. I'll talk to you all day long about Kyrie's performance on the court, but off the court, I really could care less.
Well, I'm going to ask you another question. I don't care if you like it or not. But, okay, so Ian O'Connor, like, spent time with the team, and he wrote an article and said that Kyrie is it only spends time with Tatum, and that he's and he, like, basically has no relationship with the rest of his teammates. Now, in a basketball sense, I will give you this. In terms of performance on the court, do you think that's an issue?
Do I think that
you're not having a relationship with his teammates outside of Tatum? Do you think that?
Well, if you watched last night, he apparently has a relationship, or reestablished a relationship with a lot of guys, because certainly the bench was up and cheering, and it wasn't a toxic atmosphere as Brown had described it and Morris had described it. So obviously they had some sort of team meeting and some sort of team get together on the flight out and decided that they were going to like each other. But, the one consistent thing about this team all year long is that they're inconsistent. And so would you be stunned if they went to Sacramento and lost tonight? I wouldn't. I hope they don't, obviously, but that wouldn't shock me. The thing about flipping the switch that people talk about all the time, you can't flip the switch unless you're a veteran team. Golden State can flip the switch. They've been to the finals, five straight times if they go here now. But the Celtic key players like Brown and Rozier and Tatum are too young to flip the switch. They don't know where the switch is. They don't get that at all. They think they're playing hard sometimes when they're not playing hard. They just don't have enough mileage to do that. So to think the Celtics are going to suddenly, again, flip the switch and win 10, 12 in a row is pretty unlikely, I think. I wish we could get away from Kyrie and get towards Gordon Hayward, because Gordon Hayward is the key. We saw that last night. He's the key to how far this team goes in the playoffs. If they can get 70% of what they got last night out of Gordon Hayward, then suddenly Toronto, Milwaukee, Philadelphia all look like series that you can compete in, you can maybe win. If Gordon Hayward is scoring 5 points a game, the Celtics are going to have real problems with those teams.
So I wanted to ask about Gordon Hayward. Last night he's making shots, so that's a big difference, right?
This is Adam Jones, by the way.
That's a big help.
Yeah,
this is Adam Jones.
Yeah.
So take all this with a grain of salt. He ain't no prime timer, I'll tell you that there, Mr. Gorman.
That's all right. Thanks for prepping me, Fred. I appreciate it.
So he makes 12 out of 16 last night, right? So shots are going in. Aside from that,
and he's getting 16 shots too, which is key.
True. So did you see anything different with the, and maybe that's part of it, maybe more shots. Did you see anything different with the usage or how they used him last night in that game?
I thought they put the ball in his hands a lot and allowed him to make decisions. They didn't necessarily put the ball in his hands and want him to shoot it immediately. But, you know, again, people talk about lineup changes and stuff like that. I think the Celtics go as far as Gordon Hayward's not able to carry them, but it is as far as he can get back to being the player he was in the past. And, you know, certainly last night was a glimpse of it. I'd take 70% of that every night and be real happy. He distributes the ball. He gets a surprising amount of rebounds. He's an honest defender. He's not a great defender, but he's an honest defender. He tries. If he can be 70% of what he was last night, this is a very different basketball team. If he is the player that we saw on Sunday, it's also a very different basketball team and not the basketball team that most people want.
Mike, obviously you like what happened last night against Golden State. But
Rain Man, how are you doing this morning? That was an impressive performance.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Look at you hanging in there through 2 hours.
I appreciate that. That was good. Thank you very much for listening.
I got a little flack for that bit, but I stand by it.
I had a lot of fun.
I thought it was good, but what I know?
Obviously, you're very skeptical after the Celtics win last night, and I understand it because the only thing they've been consistent at, as you mentioned, is being inconsistent. What is it going to take for you to hop back on the Celtics train here? Is it a 4-0 road trip?
I'm on the Celtics train. You guys, I mean, I want the Celtics to win every game. I don't make any bones about that. But to suddenly be talking positive about them like that's going to happen, how about a 3-1 road trip out west? I'd take that.
Okay.
I'd be encouraged a week from Thursday when they're back.
It's doable. Since they won this one, Sacramento's 500. The Lakers are in disarray. I mean, it's certainly doable.
Yeah, but the Clippers are pretty good, especially at home. Sacramento's the key game, I think, for Boston on this trip because they don't get any rest. It's only about an hour and 10-minute bus ride up from San Francisco to Sacramento. But this is a key game tonight. If they can come out and play the same way they did last night, as if it was a continuation of last night's game, then there's real reason to be hopeful. If they suddenly come out tonight and lay an egg, we're right back where we were Sunday night.
What do you think of Golden State? I know you said earlier you think they can flip the switch, but I think that was their fifth loss at home this year by more than 20. What's up with them?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as Scal just is convinced they're head and shoulders above everybody else in the West. I don't really see it. I think Denver is sneaky good. Houston's better than I thought they were, and that was certainly an impressive win over Toronto in Toronto last night. Oklahoma City is streaky. They could give you trouble in a playoff series. I think Golden State's going to have their hands full, and it's going to take a supreme effort on their part to get to the finals. Because, I mean, if you're an NBA team right now, the other 29 NBA teams, you want to beat Golden State. If you ask players, like, who do you want to go out and beat? You want to beat Golden State because of who they are and what they've done over the last 4 or 5 years. So I think the road's going to be bumpy, and I wouldn't be surprised I'd be slightly surprised if they didn't get to the Western Conference Finals. But Denver's really good. And Houston is not just Harden shooting threes. They got Capella's a good player. They got guys off the bench who can score. They actually defend a little bit, which I didn't think they did, but they actually do. So, is there anything wrong with Golden State? I don't think so, except that they maybe have too long at the dance.
I don't like Cousins on that team for some reason. It seems like he's...
Oh, well, but you know what? Maybe the turning point of the Celtics season, if this last night's game turns out to be it may not be Hayward's performance. It may not be the camaraderie that they expressed. It may be that moment between Cousins and Baines where, first of all, Tatum stepped in, and then Rozier went after Cousins. I thought that was... That could be a bonding moment that they build off of.
Look, it worked for the Bruins. I mean, when the Bruins, they were playing Dallas, and the team went after, what's-his-face? They went after Avery and another guy, and they turned around and started winning. Now, Paul Pierce has come out and said that he would not trade Tatum. He looks at Tatum as being untouchable. And, you know, obviously there's all this talk about trades in the offseason. Do you agree with him?
Yeah, I do, actually. I wouldn't put Tatum in any package. I'm hesitant to put Brown in package the way Brown has played over the last month. If they truly are going to pursue Davis, one of those two guys is going to have to be the lead guy in the package, and the package is going to be big. It'll be like two or three players and two or three first round draft picks. again, all that stuff will be decided after we're through playing games that have meaning. And right now, I'm just concerned about the next 17 games the Celtics play and who they draw in the playoffs. And because as I look at the standings right now, they're 3 games behind Philadelphia and Indiana in the loss column. There's only 17 games left, so it's going to be hard to move out of that 5 spot. They're going to have to count on Philly or Indiana taking a nosedive, which neither team has given any indication they're going to do.
Do you like Zion Williams? Do you think he's going to be a good pro?
Yeah, you know, he reminds me a lot of Charles Barkley when Charles Barkley was at Auburn. You know, not just a terrific athlete, kind of doesn't have an athlete's body, but is a terrific athlete. Yeah, I think the worst possible scenario for the Celtics would be that Kyrie decides to go to New York and Durant decides to go to New York and the Knicks get lucky in the lottery and get Zion. That would change the whole complexion of the Eastern Conference.
But he's small and all he does is dunk.
That's all Barkley did when he was at Auburn, too, and get a bunch of rebounds. People like him because of his name more than anything else. Zion, that's kind of cool. You know, see, even people who don't know the sport say, oh, I know Zion.
Well, that's why I mentioned him, because that's all I know about him. That's all I did. All right. Mike Gorman, you're not on the West Coast there. You're enjoying the time off, I would take it.
I am. I was up and early this morning, worked out, listened to you guys while I was doing it, listened to John's performance. That was remarkable.
Yeah.
Did you have a life outside of that TV show, John?
I think the answer is clearly no.
So, like when you were a kid, I imagine it was like the
Leave It to Beaver.
It was like Dobie Gillis or something. And then so.
No. But the other one was Maverick.
Maverick? Oh. Is that what all the girls who got right. together? So here's the situation in my college is that I was madly in love with this girl. She did not reciprocate until I finessed her to such a degree she couldn't resist. And heaped flowers and candies upon her. But she had, on Wednesday night, the girls, they would watch 90210 and they would watch Mello's Place. They run at 8 and 9. So I would go into the common room and watch these with them as my freshman year. And we would do so cynically. And then all of a sudden, 90210, I became not so cynical. I started actually following it.
Yep.
And now look at where I'm at, Mike.
That's right.
Just so kids, waste your time consuming garbage, and one day you can regurgitate that out to people and make a decent living. That's my advice.
I'm probably the oldest. I mean, I know I'm the oldest guy in this conversation, but who are the three Maverick brothers?
Oh boy, I don't know.
One of them was a Rockford Files guy, right?
It was James Garner.
That's correct.
Okay, James Garner.
And what was his name?
Maverick.
Billy Maverick.
That was his last name.
Billy Maverick.
Billy Maverick, did you
say? Yeah.
Frank Maverick.
Fred Maverick.
Joe Maverick.
All right.
That was Brett.
Was this a Western?
Yes, it was a Western, yeah.
Is there a finer theme song, Mr. Mike Gorman, than the Rockford Files?
No, there isn't. James Garner, between Maverick and the Rockford Files, James Garner was, he was my hero.
Really?
As an actor. I mean, Maverick was a great show. Support Your Local Sheriff. You ever see that movie?
No, Mike, I haven't.
All right. Throw that one on your list.
Okay. Head over to Blockbuster to pick that bad boy up.
This is a guy who suddenly has a lot of time on his hands.
Well, he's on the West Coast. He's revisiting. He doesn't have to be on the West Coast.
And he's not watching basketball, so here we are.
He's watching basketball. He watched the game last night. All right.
I can't believe you didn't know there are three Maverick brothers. That's amazing.
I don't know if I've ever seen Maverick.
Okay, talk to you next week.
All right, what era are we talking about in terms of Maverick?
Maverick was mid-60s.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Black and white?
Yeah, maybe early. Some of them were in black and white, to be honest with you.
You want to hear something?
I have the whole series, so if you ever want to borrow it.
I think next time he's on, we have to have a Maverick quiz.
If you want to talk about the 60s, you know what I used to pleasure myself to, Mike Gorman, is Petticoat Junction.
I thought you were going to say B. Arthur.
Arthur.
That was yesterday we had that conversation.
No, I did not
that
B.
Yesterday.
Arthur.
Yeah, okay,
no,
yeah.
But the woman who played Mona.
See, that's what I'm doing with my time off. I'm listening to you guys all the time.
So. Yeah, well, I apologize for that. That can't be fun. There's only so many things you can listen to me talk about playing with myself to. But Petticoat Junction, huh. And that was a TNA show. All right, Mike. Mike Gorman, NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
It's been a pleasure. No pun intended.
All right. Thank you very much. Listen, everyone loves it. I feel so lucky not to grow up with the internet. And, like, not even
forced
cable.
You to really be creative and look.
Like, Farmington Hills, Michigan, we didn't get cable until I was, like, and not because, like, I was poor or anything, but they just didn't have cable available.
You know what? We were just talking yesterday about Corey Everson and Kiana Tom. I mean, you really had to
search. But I didn't even have that for a long time. I had...
Jones is looking at me like, who are those two people?
Yeah, I don't know who those people are.
You don't know who Kiana Tom is?
I don't think so.
You should have been in high school when that was on.
No, that's ESPN2. That's the workout show, middays.
What year did you graduate high school?
2003.
Yeah, might have been past him. Might have been gone by then.
No, that's still on.
Really?
But he's at school.
What workout show? On ESPN?
Yeah.
It was Kiana Tom. She did a workout show where she was very scantily clad.
Corey Google Everson. That during the break. You'll get it.
Yeah, I was going to Google the Petticoat Junction.
No. Don't waste your time on that.
Petticoat Junction was out of desperation.
No. Kiana Tom, that was
the Corey meteorologist Everson. On the Weather Channel.
That's what we're looking at, Jones. We expect a full report when we get back.
Kiana Tom was exceptional.
I thought so, too.
No, he would think she's really good. I mean, there's no debate about it.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, she's an incredibly attractive woman. But just the thing is that you had to
seek out these workout shows.
Yeah. And if that wasn't on, you did the Vicki Lawrence show and you went about your business.
Now, that's just a Fred thing. I didn't do the Vicki Lawrence
show. In the summer, there was no getting out of bed until some things were happening. There was no idea that anything was going to happen that day that didn't involve my hand. So it had to be cleared.
Cozy calendar would have looked a lot different back then.
Yes, indeed. All right. And then you had an adult video news magazine that you started actually reading the articles. And you realized John Leslie was not only a performer, but a great director.
No parents, no rules, no shirts. And best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe going to be in studio with us at 9 o'clock. And earlier in the season, you would come in and we would talk about anything but hockey. And now, all of a sudden, the Bruins are exciting and maybe leading us down a primrose path. But whatever. It seems that there is a outside shot that they could make some noise in the playoffs. But a man who's been making some noise, and it's amazing that these things like come out, like the Bill Cosby thing, and then this Leaving Neverland. I don't know if you've seen any of them, but it's about these two guys who claim to be molested by Michael Jackson, and the parents that get caught up in this celebrity are just, it's ridiculous. But these guys are allowed to get away with all this stuff when there's all this evidence. And R. Kelly married a 15-year-old girl. I mean, he did. It happened legally. Now, on the marriage certificate, she's listed as 18. It's Aaliyah, right? So she's listed as 18 on the birth certificate. But I would think in the age of computers, this isn't the Old West. I would imagine that, you know, you could find out the girl's real age. And then all these videos have come out. He settled out of court with all these people. But finally, it looks like he's going to do some jail time. Well, he apparently, I don't know anything about this, but he was apparently talking to Oprah's friend, Gail King. She also with Jim Gray at the big Tom Brady interview over there in the woods. Jim Gray just had dinner plans. And he was on the CBS this morning, and apparently things did not go well. Apparently R. Kelly might have some mental issues, shockingly. Hmm. The first place he went when he got out of jail was to McDonald's, which is nothing wrong with, but he went to the McDonald's where he's been accused of, like, stalking young ladies. So he just went right there. So
a little incriminating.
But I also don't like, why does he get to eat so much fast food and stay in good shape? I always think about that. It's like you'll see like guys that were like total alcoholics and they don't get bloated. They're like all in good shape. What the hell's wrong with that? How are you doing that?
Mm. It's a good question. When's the last time he got in the studio? It's been a while. So what's he up to? What else is he doing?
I mean, he was
working out, going to McDonald's, stalking girls. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but you could work out a lot. But if you're eating like tons of McDonald's every day, it's not supposed to.
He's not a young guy either, right?
No, he's older than me.
Yeah, he's got to be in his 50s by now.
Yeah, because his first hit was like mid-90s or maybe even earlier.
Yeah, that pisses me off too, man. You should be eating fast food when you're that old.
Yeah, like what? And he's like jacked. I don't understand. All right, so he's 52. I mean, it's okay. I mean, come on. Why can you eat McDonald's? You know, I drink and then I get all bloated and ugly. What's R. Kelly doing? He's so great. All right, so here's R. Kelly. Apparently, he lost his crab.
You have never held anybody against their will.
I don't need to. Why would I? Oh, right now, I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle. Robert, stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing. Robert. I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my crap.
Robert.
30 years of my career! Y'all trying to kill me! You're killing me, man! This is not about music! Y'all just don't want to believe the truth! You don't want to believe it!
At this point, we briefly pause the interview to give Kelly a moment.
All right, so apparently his handler comes out.
Yeah.
And says, Mr. Robert. Kelly.
Now, Robert.
Robert, you're swearing and you're having a bit of a fit. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like this was live. They had the foresight to maybe sit him down beforehand.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
Robert, we're having an episode again.
Now, I don't believe the idea that these women were chained up in his basement. I'm wrong. I'm thinking that it was more of a psychological thing where they were like kept in the house.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's.
You don't want to leave because then you know. What's he going to do? Right. So more of the psychological hold, right, or the physical hold. Yeah.
Right. They were in psychological chains, we'll say.
His publicist helped calm him down.
I hope this camera keep going.
No, we're
going
to let the camera keep rolling.
This is not true.
But Kelly's emotions remained raw.
It's real girls out there missing. It's real young girls out there being abducted. They really do have chains on their wrists, and they can't get out.
Robert,
and they're ending up buried in
debt. Robert, we have to have a conversation.
This is
really,
not me.
I don't want you just ranting at the camera.
I came here for them to hear me talk.
But
I need help.
What kind of help?
This is the kind of help I need.
Yes, what kind of help?
I need somebody to help me not have a big heart, because my heart is so big. People betray me, and I keep forgiving them.
He needs to have someone actually shrink his actual heart.
Yeah.
It's gotten too big.
It's like a Grinch situation.
Right.
Blown up on him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been trusting too many people.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that in this case, saying you have a big heart is going to help you at all. I don't know if that's really the phrase that you want to go with.
Well, if I'm his publicist, I'm questioning why he let him do this.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe you stay out of the public eye a little bit.
I'm thinking the publicist may not be great at their job either.
No, I'm thinking, well, he obviously doesn't have a lot of money. He couldn't get $100,000 bail. And if you look at his career, you know, that's a number that he should have easily been able to score.
Oh, yeah. Just off the remix to Ignition.
Now, tell me, he did I Believe I Can Fly.
Yeah, big song, yeah.
Okay.
Space Jam money.
So that's his biggest song.
I would imagine, yeah.
All right, what is another song by him?
The remix to Ignition.
Okay, what is Ignition? How does that go?
He's popping fresh out the kitchen. Rolling that body, got every man in here wishing.
Because he did the great...
Sipping on Coke and rum. I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend.
Yeah. Why not? But because he did Trapped in the Closet, which is one of the great,
yes. Yeah.
The great musical theater moments of all time.
Very, 27 episodic. Parts, yeah.
Yeah, because I get him.
Was it 27?
Something like that.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Episodic is what it was, yeah.
Yeah. Because that man.
I put out my gun.
Bridget had a man, and that man was a midget.
Stepped on his toe. Remember the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we broke that. That gave us about a week's worth of radio.
Glorious, glorious, sequential. It was great.
And that's the one thing is that, you know. It...
There you go. Hey, you don't know this?
Yeah, I know this song. I get him confused with Wait, who's the D'Angelo? I get him confused with D'Angelo.
Oh, D'Angelo. Yeah, D'Angelo. That guy.
I bought D'Angelo's new record, by the way, like 2 years ago.
Yeah? How was that?
Never got through it. I bought it on vinyl, which is always a bad mistake.
No Brown Sugar. What was the name of that? What was the name of that song?
Brown Sugar.
Yeah, it was Brown Sugar.
I want some of that brown sugar.
Risque video, if I do recall.
Well, I mean, if you got it, flaunt it.
Yeah, I didn't say don't do that. I was just saying risque.
I don't know if it's so risque. Is it he had the muscles that lead to your pelvis?
Yeah.
But he, the most difficult
muscles. Not a lot of McDonald's, I'd imagine, at D'Angelo's diet.
I think D'Angelo just might be born for sin. You know?
Sure, yeah.
That he can do whatever he wants and it kind of just happens.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
There's the toughest muscles to grow are the ones that lead to your pelvis.
Yeah, what is that what they're called?
Well, I don't know what the name of the muscle. I'm not a.
No, but that's a good way to describe it. That's probably better than I would have described.
So you could get a six-pack.
The muscles to the pelvis.
Because you could be like an Iron Sheik or a Terry Francona.
Yeah.
And have like defined muscles, but have a pot belly.
Yep. Yeah.
But
like a gut.
To get the trim muscles that lead to the what they call in science balls, very difficult. Is Jaffe here? All right, fantastic. All right, well, Billy Jaffe's going to be in studio. He of Nest, and we'll talk some pucks.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.